Good morning, gentlemen. So, it's good to see everybody. Last night was great. Shares was great. The fellowship, you know, that Saturday night is always pretty cool, you know, because you really get to fellowship in a lot of different ways, from playing games to smoking cigars or hanging out. It's really cool. So, I go to this Tuesday night 11-step meditation meeting down by the ashram, and it's all like candlelight. They meditate. It's an hour meeting. You meditate 20 minutes. And then they have all these little sayings that I've never really heard from the book. But they do a thing which I like to start the day with. They actually close the meeting this way, which I've never participated in anything like it before, but it's kind of comforting. And I thought, since it's Sunday morning, and to settle us down a little, instead of meditating, we just do a different style, different tool. But that this is where it comes from. So, you know, AA is a very fabulous place for tools. So they say the Our Father at the end, but they actually whisper it together. So I thought we'd try that to start the day. And so it'd be like, it's hard to whisper when you're mic'd. Oh, I'll put it down like this so they can at least hear it on the tape. This is pretty cool. 25th anniversary, the very first retreat. The retreat master, Don Pritz, started with whispering the Our Father. And here we are in the 25th, whispering the Our Father. It's kind of... And I like it because, you know, you feel the silence in it, and it's a prayer like we know really well. But somehow I listen to the words more when it's being whispered, and I was listening as we were talking, and like, oh yeah, through my daily bread, what's my daily bread? Forgiving trespasses as I'm forgiven. Oh yeah, that's what we do here also. And we could go through every line of that if we listen to it and really go like, oh yeah, that's what I can do today. And I'm saying that because I asked this guy who started that meeting. He loves the pause a lot, so I resonated with him. And he said it's a tool, another tool, not only to whisper it, but he says it's like, I want to whisper to God because I have to get quiet enough for God to whisper back. So I whisper because it gets me calmer when he pauses. So he whispers his prayers to God. I was like, I gotta try that. And you know what? It's like, I have other tools that calm me down, but it just calms me down. And I think it's because it's so familiar. It's so ingrained in me. And it's almost like brings up all this fellowship. It's like something way bigger than me comes up in me in the moment. So I wanted to pass that on to all of you here and then people listening to the tape. I think it could be a cool tool, you know. And And I've just done the whispering to God thing, just to different people I may mentor, not necessarily in these rooms, and not using the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, especially if they're a little hyper, and it really works. So it's kind of cool. So I thought maybe Sunday, you know, it's Sunday traditionally, and, you know, America, Christians think Sunday's kind of the day we everybody reflects on God. So I like Sundays because in this culture, a lot of people are going to God, you know. Another tip that I use that people know and want to know if I just talk about a little about when I pray, I like to pray with during the five times a day. The Muslims actually pray around the world. So I can surf that energy of everybody going to God at the same time. And I really dig that because it's kind of like a Sunday morning. There's these times of the day that just millions of people are going to God. So it's like, and I feel like I'm not alone. So if you didn't know the theme of the retreat, I'll lay it out and then you'll kind of see, like, oh. So we all do retreats, you know, different ways. Usually our style is to go through every single step, right? Which I think's good, but when I was prepping, what came to me in the end to do is, well, what would just my day look like? What would my day look like? So if you see, like, the one thing I did line by line just to read was the 11-step prayer, because every day. And then, taking inventory, you know, that thing of taking inventory so I can keep growing. And then every day getting uncomfortable so I can keep expanding my spiritual life. And then depending on where I'm at or what's going on, it's kind of like these little tools we apply during the day, you know, or we give away if we're working that service part. Someone will call and, oh, this tool will be good for him. And then an hour later, someone else calls and it's like, this tool's good for him. So we all have these tools. And I just thought that might be a different way to get to the same thing. Because I really do believe, you know, that methodically going through the steps, you know, knowledge-wise up here, you know, I'm not in a person's life. That's one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball. And that's really where we get this thing. So, and, you know, even though it's intellectually stimulating sometimes to hear it, I really haven't heard much new because that process is so disciplined through the years. I've just gone through the same process of like six people who have spoken here. I really don't have much to add to it because when I hear it, it's exactly how my book's laid out because people are very diligent about not veering from it too much except for with that one person. They might give him something else or say something different. But the heart of it is the same. So I wanted to encourage you, if you have not gone through the book line by line, don't miss out on it. Which I think, I don't know how many guys said it last night, or in the last day, there's probably 30 people who have talked about the how transforming it is just to do what they say to do. It's not about this group. It's just a book that says, just go do what we say and see what happens. And it has worked for a long time. So please, you know, I think a lot of us would beg you to do it, but we can't jump in your body. We can only say what it's done for us. So I wanted to encourage that on Sunday. And if you don't do that, then I just would like to say, just remember what we all said, when your life is falling apart and you're really suffering, just remember that the solution is still right there. And a lot of us said that. We saw it and it's like, well, it's a year later than I did that, or 7 years later, or, you know, we do that, but don't remember it. At that moment, remember what we're saying and just grab someone. So I just wanted to say that's kind of what we're trying to do, and that's kind of a little framework for it. In the most common denominator, I use good orderly direction, even though personally in my own practice I don't use that, but I wanted to use it here. I use that as a tool to teach others, but we all have a very intimate relationship, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Like, how do we build a relationship with God or its universe? And I thought it would be maybe useful, again, as a check-in, like everything else I've given is, well, let me just look at where I go to get power. But especially if I don't have, for me personally, if I don't have this relationship that I can have 24/7, you know, in a negative way, what'll happen is I'll go to power for other things, which in the book, it's like, what are the five things you put ahead of a better relationship with God? You know, we make that list, become willing. But I also have found, you know, mostly through my marriage, is if I don't really surrender and practice these principles in a relationship, it doesn't grow. So I got very interested in my relationship with this divineness and what is my personal relationship and could I improve it? Because I thought if I could improve it, I could get closer and I'd have more intuitive connection, which is what you all said. So I was just looking at how, in a very specific way, could I do that? So here's a blind spot I'll give, which others don't have this. They'll be like, wow, he's like that, but I am. The biggest thing that was lacking in my relationship with my higher power was appreciation. I'm a practitioner, and a very stripped down practitioner, because I studied Zen for a long time. So it's just really connection. And when you get it, it's just kind of doing it. So that's good for a life. But I noticed I wasn't as happy as some of the other people around me. And I wondered why, because I was like, I have a really great life. I probably should be happier. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe I got thought. You know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't my thought. And very similar to what Clint said to Luther, you know, I want you to be happier. And so that was a blind spot for me that maybe, you know, I've spent a lot of time on this retreat about discipline and are you doing it, kind of pushing you. But then the other side of this thing is, how do I increase joy in all my relationships? Because a lot of people ask me, how do you get love? And I say, well, that's a big thing. How about practicing joy? You know, it's easier to get joy than love, because it's so I was like, how can I be joyful? And I really kind of found out I was stripped of joy, you know, like, I don't know. I just never thought about it. So I kind of really looked at appreciation and joy and how much could that change my life. Now, for people who can't feel and live a couple feet from their body like I do, that's the path that had opened my heart and I got very transparent. So I wanted to say that if you're like, I just can't feel, I couldn't either, and joy, practicing joy opened my heart. I did not expect that, but that's what it did. So it says in the book, we're not a glum lot. And I was like, yeah, we're pretty happy, you know. But I have taken that a little more serious, like, am I practicing being glum? Because this way of life, living this way of life, says glumness is not in our toolkit. I like the word being diligent versus being too serious. You know what I mean? And I think that also came from, it got too serious about the instructions in the book, and got a little too arrogant, spiritually arrogant about that. So it was kind of like being right and having the solution and I don't know, something like that weighed more in my life than joy. It's kind of trippy, huh? So I just wanted you to ask yourself, how joyful am I? Or are you not joyful? Yeah, a lot of people are shaking their head, they're just not joyful. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's what we're going to get to. And then we might even open it up for our little joy mongers. I mean, there's some really good people who practice a lot of joy techniques in here. I'd like to hear a little bit, but I'll say that. But I just wanted you to kind of check in around joy for you so you can know, like, we're just locating ourselves, right? The whole weekend's about just where am I? So you go down the hill, you kind of go, hey, intuitively you know, like, this is the thing I'd like to put some effort into, And so one thing I did in it is I did a book, not an AA book, but I'll tell you the book I did. I did The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which I don't know how I think someone in the program told me who was super creative and they thought I was talking about the joy thing. And he said, hey, you might want to do this book. And anyway, the part of it that really was artist dates, like take myself out on a date. That never occurred to me to actually take myself out on a date to have fun without other people. And at that time, I would never go to a film or a movie alone. And I'd be like, I would think, everybody's looking at me that I have no friends. And that's why I'm here. I don't know how I came up with that, but that was the thing. So I took that on for my first artist date to go to a movie alone. And I literally was sweating buying my ticket, because I was thinking everybody was judging me. So I've continued that type of practice on dates for Rick ever since then. And that's been really, really cool. And then I try to pick dates also that have a lot of beauty in it, because I think beauty opens up the soul. You ever see something so beautiful, just for that moment you gasp and you don't think. It's just like, and it could be anything, like the flowers here. It doesn't matter what it is, but just what is it for you? An experiment. So I always loved sculpture. That was my thing. Secretly, they all ask you like a different, vocation or job would you like to have? What would you be? And I always put sculptor. So I took sculpting classes. I was horrible. But I go do that a lot because it brings me joy. And then the other thing was so does that help you? Like whatever that is, there's a bunch of those. People in here could say, oh, am I hung up? Thank you. Here, let's go that way there. AAs are so trained, you could come in, black eye, snot. It's like, hey, how you doing? I love you, It's like So that was some. The other thing to soften, I did, I think it was really from joy to love, but I'll say what I did for it because it's super powerful and I tell a lot of people to do it is I run a really hot bubble bath and I light candles in my bathroom. Yeah. And then I play really, really, really tender music. And I sit in the bathtub. That was, and I probably started doing that in my seventh year of sobriety after I got out of prison. And someone told me to do that because I was just so hard. And I really wanted wanted to live a nonviolent life. And in the end, I mean, I took a vow of nonviolence. But that was the gateway to it. And why was the heat relaxed my body, the sound relaxed my ears, and the light relaxed my eyes. And I couldn't meditate great at that time. I meditated, but I had so much monkey mind. It was a lot of effort, so it wasn't joyful. I did it because I knew it was a good thing. But I really hadn't, you know, cleaned up my life. And so that bubble bath really was good. And I still do it. Even though I try to get in a bigger jacuzzi because I'm big, but I do it. Can't put the, it's like it's a trade-off. You get in the jacuzzi, no bubbles, you know? So I do that. And I highly recommend it if you want to learn to be quiet. That's working with all one's senses makes a big difference, you know? So you want to look at like those little tools you have. And the other thing I did with joy that helped me a lot is I started looking at people's eyeballs. And I would try to look, you know how they say like the light's in everybody? I would look at people's eyeballs and try to just look in the light deep down. I forget who it is, but it's one of the guys on the website talked about the ability to look under all the crud of each other, to see the brilliance of God, and to be able to help that human being experience it. And he considered that sponsorship. Wow, I was like, wow, that's me. Like my sponsor is going to look beyond all the crud, you know, and see the man I could be, and he's going to sculpt me into it with God. This was cool. So I do that. I do that especially in adversarial situations that I've made up in my mind. Like I got to win, or so I look at their eyeballs. And I actually do that with clients when I go on their website before I meet them. They always have their picture because I'm in corporate America a lot. And I'll look in their eyeballs and try to see their soul instead of their position in the business. So that's another. I like that a lot. It brings me, you know what? It's like the soul always rejoices in hearing what it knows. Like when someone says something, you go, something in you goes, oh, that's right, even though your brain doesn't. It's sometimes when I see that in something in me goes, oh, that's it. But I feel it almost in me because we're connected. So I, you know, here I am, like now I'm all happy, you know. I just love that. It's like so juicy. So that's another thing on joy. And then, so I just wanted to, you know, talk about that. And then appreciation is very important to me the longer kind of things are okay in my life. And that's been like that for a long time. I have a tendency to take it all for granted because it's kind of like the water I swim in, which I, you know, I always remember my last drunk. So I came here and never drank again through that, all that never picked up because I just knew in my deepest part of my soul, that was not a solution. You know, But everything else can go too and not pick up a drink. So to appreciate it, and sometimes I'm not good at that. So a lot of people think the white mala I have is, you know, to, you know, because it has X amount of bees, is to pray. But it actually, it's white because it's for appreciation. So if you said, what are you working on today diligently? I would say appreciation. And I'm not good at it. And that's why, and people have known me for a long time, they'll see different types of malas on my wrist because it's like a rubber band, you know, when you snap it. It's like, wake up, wake up. So I still use that. It really works for me. And I use the red one for joy. You know, so that, and I didn't pick them. It's, you know, other teachers pick them and they say, hey, this is your lesson. So anyway, I don't know what more to say about appreciation. And yeah, go ahead. You want me to go deeper in it? Yeah. Okay, someone asked that question. We got about 30-something questions, just so you know. So if you ask a question, you know, I was kind of a little overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to answer every single question because then we can't do everything. So I'm trying to do themes because I just don't think it's going to be possible to answer them all. So it is like a great thing when people, and there were a few questions about anger or agitations, and seeing beauty or joy could work, but for all us agitated people, when one first tries it and you're agitated, you ever notice when something super beautiful comes, you get more pissed off? You ever notice when you're agitated and someone's super nice to you, you go off? Like, isn't that weird? But it actually is true, right? You're kind of like, so it's like once I'm past that stage, joy will work for me. And I think other people who've gone through that will say, if I'm not past that stage, it kind of overwhelms me. So I have to kind of, I don't know what it triggers in me, like, but it triggers this, like, you're happy, I'm not, now I'm going to kill you more. It's very logical, you know, but it's really, you know, so that technique, if I'm agitated and, you know, everybody knows when they have it and somebody's super nice and you get more agitated, obviously joy and beauty is not going to work for you yet. Does that help you? But after that, so if you see something beautiful and you soften a little, then you could use joy and beauty. Cool? Any other questions? Or let's just get a couple, yeah, questions and just around joy, beauty. Yeah.
Just being grateful for getting the things I need. Because I'll think about, I want this, I'm not going to get it, I'm afraid. And then I'm afraid because I'm not, you know, it's just
a cycle. That's a heavy question because it's a spectrum. But I will say, I could say this, and people go, oh, yeah, that's happened. So I'll say this piece, and then we'll go somewhere else. Yeah, gratitude can really destroy, you know, greed, you know, grasping. You know, being a, you know, it can really, it's a superpower, even, not even in the middle, it can cut the legs out of things. That's why we use gratitude a lot. I call it appreciation because I've worked with the word gratitude a lot and I got a little numb. So when I mean appreciation, I really mean gratitude. But, you know, when one tool gets a little numbing, try to find another tool to get you there. So I use appreciation right now. Luther uses gratitude, like he's very good at gratitude. It probably why he wasn't, couldn't understand him, because he's probably been saying appreciate and gratitude for a while for me. I'm like, ooh, chill out. So it can really undercut. And I think that we do that a lot, like when we're miserable and we don't really have, even like survival, we don't even have enough. Some of us come in here, we don't even have enough for survival. A lot of us will say, be grateful for what you have. And I just remember someone was telling me a story here about not even having a car and takes the bus and walks everywhere. And being grateful he has enough money for the bus. He's not thinking about the car. Super powerful. But then once you have a car for a few years, you don't think, it's like, it becomes transportation. And I'm not as grateful for it. I think that's why sometimes some of us say, stay very low to the ground or to the root. Like I could insulate myself with people in AA who have all things, and I don't get that in my face. But if we're working with newcomers and things like that, we see it. And we kind of walk away going, you know, I love this. Like I have problems, and then I talk to somebody and I have no more problems. That's kind of what you're talking about. And I just wanted to illuminate, like, using these things. Like, we were talking about discipline and, you know, you kind of get, you know, one style is to push somebody, you know, like, wake them up. But the other side, you know, I don't believe this. I never did when I came to AA. And I'll say this, the thing, and I could have been in this category because I was treated this way at first for good reason. Well, my sponsor told me to just shut up and sit in the back, and everybody should do that. That's what you should do, right? We hear that a lot. And I was told that, but I mean, look at my story. What else would you tell a guy like me? Like I'm an animal. It's like just if you can like not be too menacing and just sit and be quiet. And, you know, because it is a listening program, but we all, you know, some people listen better than others, but us who do not listen at all are told that. But if you've never told your story and you've held everything in your whole life and you drank it away, I'm going to tell you the opposite. I want you to share at every meeting. I'm petrified to share, they're going to say, right? But it's contrary behavior. So no one thing works, right? And we're broad. So even with myself, like sometimes discipline works, but some, you know, love really works. You know, so now we're doing tools on the yummy side for Sunday, yummy day Sunday. That's what we got. Like, what are really cool, positive things that can propel us down just as much as discipline? And maybe if we add discipline to really yummy things, could you get a supercharge? I think that's possible, and I see that with people, and I wanted to talk about it today with prayer, meditation, practicing these principles in all our affairs. And then the other category people talked about is fleeting and soon lost, how everything's fleeting. We deal with that a lot. Like, I got it, I don't got it. Fleeting. This is like the fleeting Olympics, if you really said it. It's like, I got, oh, now I don't got it. We spend a lot of time in how do I handle fleeting? Pacey. If it wasn't a head mic, we'd probably drop it right there and start hugging each other, calling people we love, you know. And that's the beauty of AA. Like AA, either through nonverbal or just a couple words, you get like lifetimes of wisdom just pour right through you. It's beautiful. Matthew.
Yeah, so that's been the work that I've done over the last few years, has been understanding the emotional connection to spiritual experience. And for years I dwelt in this place of sort of reticence and resignation and cynicism, right? And understanding the connection between meditation and just getting to neutral, so that I'm above those lower emotions, and then using appreciation, like as a tool on a daily basis, as a way to discipline myself to say, this is the small thing that I appreciate. And I breathe in and I appreciate it. Right. I appreciate it. The way my shirt feels.
Yeah.
Not dropping back down into cynicism and all of that, unless I'm focusing on politics or whatever.
We all have our little area of hopelessness.
Consciously guided to appreciate.
Yeah. And that's why really at the very beginning, if you think the elegance of AA at the very beginning, we have people do gratitude lists, right? And that's, you know, a tool that you could use forever. But I wanted to come at a gratitude list, because as we're talking, they're like, well, he's just talking about a gratitude list, really. But if you kind of come at it from another way, you kind of see how elegant and beautiful the tool is. And we get gratitude lists so early, I think, and men I deal with, sometimes we're like, I'm beyond the gratitude list. Foundations, we talk about back to basics. Foundations are built a certain way because they're strong foundations. And gratitude's in there because it builds a great foundation. But it's a little more. So when Matthew was talking, you see how he was talking, and I don't know if you could see him, but his face going up and the tears just coming through there. People will ask me, like, what's bliss? And that's actually what he's feeling there, is what in the spiritual realm they'll call bliss. It's that mixture of God and joy is bliss. I've never felt a lot of bliss. That's why I got that. So, like, appreciation, people would go, do you get a lot of bliss? I go, no, I get a lot of clarity. I have a lot of clarity. I wanted to meditate to that. I was going to use that as a tool. I was. No, you're good. Yeah, have you? You're better than me. I've been asleep most of the time in AA trying to get awake. You got it, baby. I'm trying to get in your category. So I'm just trying to have the conversation, like, and if you know, and not be too intellectual about it, so you just feel the feeling of it, like that softness, like the meditation we did the other day. It feels like the other day. I think it was yesterday, though, because we didn't have a lot. But because, like, this type of attitude, and if you do something like that, all of a sudden they open up even more. So combining things, tools, and we were talking, Lord, he went over here, around in the 12 and 12, like interweaving things. But in the subcategories, we interweave also, right? We, like, we're interweaving, you know, meditation, prayer, and inventory. They say interweave that, and you get somewhere. But if you interweave just different techniques inside of inventory, you get somewhere, too, in that category, in each category. And we're kind of talking about interweaving and meditation and prayer as we do in it. Like, we're going a little deeper in those. So you can, like, how many joy tools do you have in your spiritual tool belt? So I would say today, standing with my biggest weakness in that area is appreciation. Why do I know that? Well, one, I don't see how big it is. Two, from two different places, I get this, but Luther, and I mean, the instruction I got with him about heaven and open the door, here's all the gifts given to you that you never opened. Well, he gave that to me in the last 60 days. Not a good sign appreciation's going well. You know, like, sponsors just don't give you tools to just get rid of you. They give you tools because they give you tools. If they want to get rid of you, they say, call me back later. You know? So I got that from two different areas, and I was like, this is probably bigger than what I think. So you want to look at that for yourself. Does that help? Questions just in that. We could talk forever about it. Or if you have a tool, I'd love to hear a couple tools that people are using. If you have a tool of joy or love or appreciation or gratitude outside of a gratitude list. Go ahead, Rob.
I take a nap with my dog.
I love that. You love your dog. So that's cool. Like, I take a nap with my dog. We'll popcorn it. Let's just see what we got. Don't be shy. I really want to steal a few.
So I was told to listen to people. Listen really carefully to what people are saying so I could hear what people were saying.
That's beautiful. Versus, yeah, I love that. Go ahead. Wow, that's cool. That's a good tool. Oh, I like that. Yeah, say it louder because he's got a big voice. I want you to say it because you get, look how happy he is about doing it. And he said, like, the dog might spend a half an hour on a bush. But you didn't, like, get that thing, like, we're walking, and it's like, no, the point is for the dog to do its thing. So I could see you, like, for a half an hour, because the dog's digging it, like, oh, I'm so happy, look how happy my dog is. But you're in total joy, and all you did was let your dog do what it wanted. That's a powerful thing. I'm like, wow, if I had a dog, I could do that. Like, I could apply that right away, and it's not too heavy. Yeah. Yes, Majid.
I play dolls with my little girl.
Oh, yeah, he plays dolls with his little girls. So, I have to go off of that because one of the things I got beat up over is my parents gave me a Susie Homemaker oven when I was like six because I was I wanted to bake. It was great, you know. So when my daughter, here's what was this trip. So everybody knows this through AA. I've said that story, like Susie Home, because, you know, my story's a little rough. So the Susie Home Banker Everett's like, oh, he really was a really cool little kid. So when my daughter, Caitlin, was young, even before she could do the oven, Lisa got me a Susie Big Home. I said, she can't do this. She goes, no, I bought it for you so no one will beat you up here. And I baked in it. And I got refills from Amazon to bake more. And I was so happy. And then it was just like, I totally healed up with a Susie Homemaker Oven. I was like, I finally got this 40 years later. I got my oven and no one beat the shit out of me to go bake in it. So see how that works? The little things. Bobby.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, one of the things, there are two things that I found really helpful in my sobriety. One is, early on, someone shared about the power of an evidence list.
Oh.
And really,
You have to hear this, because this is a good list. They didn't know. Go ahead.
The power of an evidence list.
Evidence list.
And so, as opposed to a gratitude list where I'm just kind of pinpointing, oh, you know, the birds are out today, it's a beautiful day, I have a car. There's all this evidence throughout my life of God doing miraculous things. Mm. And so when I reflect on those periods of my life where I thought I could not get through something, and I keep this evidence list, then what occurs to me next is, well, why would he stop taking care of me today? And my faith is completely restored.
A-plus tool. That's a great tool. Wow. Yes, sir. Speak up. Speak up.
I don't know if it's a tool, but I get great joy when I'm talking to a sponsee or working with a sponsee, and the answer comes out of his mouth.
Yeah. So that's like a realization and being available in the moment to joy, to feel it right away. So tools of joy, like something you apply, that evidence list. Go ahead.
Yeah, I love music, and I love to listen to music sometimes and just sing and belt out and jump around and move to whatever sounds there rather than trying to do some sort of dance, just joyously just running around in music as if no one's going to see how crazy I am.
That's very cool. That's very hard for me. I went and took ecstatic dancing in this little thing to loosen up my body for joy, like trying to, I was really very, I learned a lot the first half an hour that I would not express myself. I did not want people to know how happy I was. You are my guru. I'm going to try to practice that dancing in my house to the point, like, I can just see it, like, I don't do that. I'm more of these, a hip guy, because I got to look cool. But that's a little low on the joy level. So now I could look cool, or I could be free. Oh, hold on, because you're going to go down through the killer one, because you're actually trained in this. So everybody can hear the four. Go ahead.
Okay, the four things that I focus on are loving friendliness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity.
Equanimity.
So, and when I do these things, I go through my day trying to look for examples. Where do I apply these? And I do. I mean, there's a breakthrough that comes to you. And loving friendliness when I'm talking to anybody. And loving friendliness is also one of the things in meditation that helps you purify your mind.
I can't let that go. So everybody keep their hands down. That was going to be section two about what are spiritual tools for joy. And there's tons of them. And I wanted to blend some of like what we were doing, because we did the heart thing. I thought after that we could do, and I took my Buddhist vows. You know, it's not really about that, but with Thich Nhat Hanh, who has his whole thing's like updating ancient things into that. And one of the biggest things is loving friendliness. And it really comes out of, you know, there's four that's very structured, we'll say, thousands of years old. So just think about this. If you practice loving friendliness to everyone around you today, how do you think you're going to feel? even my our agitated friends or numb, you know, when they say fake it till you make it, this is a good one to use because it will break it up, and just don't stop using it. One day you're going to look, you're going to have a moment and you're going to be smiling. And I got a specific thing like, well, what does that mean? And someone said, why don't you just start opening the door to places for people and say, have a good day. And then I combined it with looking people in the eye because I used to not look people in the eye. I don't know how they felt, but it was the first time in sobriety I really felt good. Like with people, because I was also one of them in sobriety. We get it, other people don't. You know, so before I kind of had that experience in 90, I was kind of very rigid AA guy, like those people don't get it. I was super arrogant around, we get it, they don't. So I would never think about a regular human being being kind to them. I just worked on not being a menace to them. Right? You guys, first things first, don't harm the children. I mean, that's a good place to start. But I never really thought, like, I hug you, but I was not necessarily like that in my daily life, which is practicing these principles in all our affairs. So that is a thank you. We're allowed to put books and stuff on the thing. So we'll put, like, tools and stuff and books and places people got, you know, on the website, too. There's others on there that you, then you can, a lot of this I'm doing so you can really hear it later, you know, so you got a tool. So that's, I got all excited. I'm sorry I got sidetracked.
As my dad was getting really old, we always played games, that's what he liked to do, and so we played cards, and I was hired from him first, but I started letting him win. I started rigging it so that he was winning.
I love that.
And then I was able to figure out how to rig it so that it was super competitive, so that we'd be right down to the line.
He'd win. That's great.
My wife calls me Eeyore, like, you know, in the...
Yeah, Eeyore. He said, my wife calls me Eeyore.
You know, so I've never been somebody that's, like, really... Well, you know, one little thing that I found that makes me happy and makes other people happy is when I'm ordering food or something in a restaurant where someone's wearing a name tag or at the supermarket, I always call them by their name.
Yeah.
And you call them by their name, you know, and it kind of, we spend so much time where everybody's like a number in our society that I feel it's a connection.
Yeah, I like that too. I like doing that, calling people by their name if I could. Moving to Grayton Beach has been interesting for me because it's got Southern manners in there. So everybody calls everybody yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. I really like that. So when we're down there, I say it all the time. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Even to my wife. Yes, ma'am. They laugh. You know, but I like it. There's something very civil about it. So it's if I, you know, we, you know, it's to love than to be loved, right? So if I wait to get loved, I have no control over it. That's really what people are saying. If I practice love, I experience love. And I forgot your name. I really love you, Robert. That's great for that share. That Robert's doing the second hour. We could just go through that whole practice and it'd be cool. Okay, so we want to go down the hill with really great tools, and we want to be honest with ourselves where we're at. So if we lie to ourselves and we're in a little trouble and we're not working on the wrong things, here's what I want to say. We really just don't want to lose you in any way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We don't want to lose you. We need you. We want you badly. You know, so we're just trying to get you there. But we also, when we come down this hill, we're going to talk this next session about fleeting and soon lost. One of the things is when you coming into these things, you, ATN and I were talking about this, and I said, oh, I'm going to do that. I was thinking about it. And then I saw that as synchronicity. And ATN, I used to sponsor ATN, and we used to talk a lot about kind of, I'll call it the edges, like, is there a way to specifically do something I can really make work cool, that's creative within the things? And the thing about fleeting and soon loss, even in love, like how this weekend is, sometimes you go down the hill and you get bummed out. You know, you're like, oh, it's over, right? It's kind of over. Now I'm in the, and we make up stories. Oh, I'm in the real world. They don't get it. I'm a, you know what I mean? But we just made all that up and we just dug us into suffering. And like, we're in Malibu next to the water. Like, you know, you're really just like right there. You didn't even get to the Ferris wheel in Santa Monica if you're going that way. Or people are going this way, like, you're in the middle of one of the most beautiful canyons there is, and you are like, oh, I'm all bummed out. I miss everybody. And right in front of you is love and beauty, but we don't see it, right? So I wanted to see if we could mix today, like, how do I handle fleeting and soon lost, and what are tools? So we're just setting that up through joy and appreciation, okay? So we're going to break. We'll come back in 10 minutes, okay? Thank you.